Welcome everyone to 21st Century Learning on the EdTech Talk Channel, the World Bridges Network. Today is January 16th, 2007, and we're streaming live from New York City. I'm Arvin Grover, and my co-host today...
Bill Knauer from Brooklyn, New York.
All right. So now we have a cross-river co-broadcast going on.
There we go.
Thanks for being here, Bill. Bill is substituting for Alex today, who is currently giving a Web 2.0 workshop down the street from my school, actually. He said that he might try and Skype in with his class. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get an update on how they're doing over there. I'm going to see if there's any way I can boost you up a little so that everyone can hear you. I think you've got someone from your school in the chat room. They could tell us how you sound.
Okay, and I will keep... I'm wondering if I should play with the settings on the blue. Let's see.
You should be on channel 1 on the blue. On the back?
That's where I am.
Okay, that's good. And then... Right. So the only other thing you can try is your Windows microphone settings. You could try cranking those up under the sound properties.
Okay, I'll just also keep very close to the mic until we see what... I'll try the other things as we
go. Right like you are right now, that's pretty good.
Okay, I'll stay there.
Don't worry, no one can see you kissing the mic.
Exactly, I'm glad it's not video.
Anyway, I'll learn a bit or two about how to edit sound after the fact and boost you up with Audacity.
Okay. Okay, boost my confidence as well.
So today we thought we would have a gadget show and talk a little bit about, you know, what was hot for Christmas and holiday time shopping and some new developments that have been coming out in the last couple of weeks in the gadget world.
Okay.
So have you had your eyes on some expensive prizes?
Well, I'm sort of thinking we need to talk about iPhone first and just get it out of the way, since that's the one
that's elephant out there. In the room.
Exactly.
I think so. So did you get to see the keynote? How did you hear about it?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I got somebody forwarded the link to the Engadget page, which had all the pictures up right away, which is where I got my first impression. So, how about you?
I totally saw it in that place also. It's funny, I've just Google searched for iPhone, and already the first link is a non-official Apple Blogspot blog. But I'm going to post the official link to the Apple site. Yeah, so I first saw this pictures of Steve Jobs' keynote address. And man, does that thing look geeky fun.
Oh, yeah, it's just a sexy little box. It's so cool.
I've been waiting to buy a new phone for a while, and I might have to wait longer now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some concerns at the same time. I mean, it's cool, and I think that there are some really... The biggest thing is that I think they're breaking such new ground that it's going to push other people to start innovating as well, which is, I think, one of Apple's fortes anyway.
I hope so, because I was in Europe over winter break, and I was like, oh, I'll get a cool phone in Europe, since most of the phones I've looked at here, they're a little boring, I don't know, they're just not that interesting, no one's pushing the envelope, but I was saddened to see that the global market is all the same. I was hoping for some European cool phones, but I didn't find any.
Right. Maybe we should have had Christina Devitt over in Japan in this and talk to her about what's happening with the phones over there.
That's true. They've got third generation phones going full time over there.
Yeah. And what is it? Isn't it true that the first iPhone is not going to be the third generation?
It's going to be on
the Edge network or?
That's right. That was on slideshow presentation. It said like not 3G, but using the Edge network. I don't know a lot about what the difference between those two formats are. Do you know much about those?
I think that I just all the only thing that I've heard is, from reading and is that, you know, 3G is the way that everyone's moving toward, and I believe that's what they were using in Japan and Europe earlier on, and with all the proprietary networks here, but again, I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah. What's interesting about it is, I guess the point of it is you can crank a lot more bandwidth through it. Just gives you a lot faster connection. So I guess that's helpful for, like, those phones that get video on and get TV on, which doesn't really intrigue me that much for my phone. I don't know how much I need to watch television.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I agree with you. I'm definitely not really a television person. In fact, my family likes to remind me that I'm a pop culture wasteland when it comes to modern television.
Yeah, I just don't see why you need to watch TV on your phone.
Well, it's funny. A friend of mine just got the video iPod, and you know he figured out how to. He bought DVDs of the series that he wants. He figured out how to hack them, and he's loaded them all onto his iPod, and that's what he's going to do on his commute from now on.
Yeah, I can see that, but your phone is not going to work in the train, right?
Right, and that's the. Well, I don't know. Is it? I mean, who knows with something like this that's going to, as the memory increases, are you going to be able to do TV and TiVo it at the same time?
Oh, wow. Your TiVo phone, that's going to be the next one.
Right. I mean, I'm going to just post a link from Mobi TV, which is something I just read a little bit about as well. This is their big thing. And then it's interesting because you're looking at all these ways to bring TV to people. I mean, with Fios from Verizon, where mm-hmm. they're bringing cable right into the house, so they're going to start doing cable over your internet connection as opposed to cable, or TV over your internet connection, and then streaming it to your phone. It's like it's bad enough that we sit in front of the boob tube. We'll have the boob tube with us all the time now.
It'd be nonstop. Yeah, there's been actually a lot of commercials on TV for cell phones with TV. I know Sprint already has it, and a number of others, Verizon. There was a commercial yesterday YouTube on like little website on little phones.
Right. And yeah, I don't get it, but I think that there's a market there. It's people who want to, they don't want to say they're recording it at home, or they want to just see it, when they're out and about, or,
yeah.
You're at a sports event and you're watching the game as well on your phone. I don't know.
Watching the replay.
Right.
Yeah. The thing I like so much about the iPhone though, is the interface looks amazing. It's all touchscreen. It's all very elegant. And I guess it's the one phone Singular is going to sell that Singular doesn't hack the operating system. Because basically every cell phone you buy in the U.S., it says Singular on it when you turn it on. So they've clearly hacked it, put their own stuff onto it, and taken stuff out that they don't want you to have access to.
Right.
So this time they allowed Apple to keep their OS just as it was.
Michael Bernstein, who's also listening in now, he and I had an interesting conversation where he, when it first came out with the announcement, he just talked about how, how revolutionary this new touchscreen was, where you can, touch in two different places. You can use a shift key. You can do things that you've never been able to do before, which hadn't occurred to me at all.
That's on the iPhone?
Yeah, on the new iPhones. So yeah. It can deal with dual touch at the same time, which is something that touchscreen's just never been able to do.
Yeah. And then I gotta love that feature when you hold it up to your ear, it automatically turns the screen off. That's pretty slick.
Yeah. It is cool. All right, but I'm gonna use this as a segue now, because as far as gadgets go, the one that I've been lusting after.
Yeah.
Like the iPhone, I looked and I thought, okay, someday I'm probably going to want one. Right now, I'm not. It's the Okio.
I'll put the
link in. And the Okio 2 is out, and I want it. And I can't justify getting it.
Now, how much does an Oak U02 run?
It's about $1,500 without the dock.
Okay. And tell us a little, what is it for those of us who don't know, what is an OQO?
It is essentially a Palm computer. It's going to be running, it runs XP, it's going to be Vista ready. It's got a little built-in keyboard. It's got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all the rest. It's got a dock that it can plug into, and then you can, you know, use it as your main desktop computer. So essentially you're carrying around a Palm top. It replaces your laptop, it replaces your Palm. The one thing it doesn't replace yet is the phone. But it's just, it's sort of, you know, this, especially the fact that it can handle Bluetooth keyboard and Bluetooth mouse, you could essentially use it as your main computer, carry it around in your pocket, you know, have a keyboard and a mouse at home and at work, and, you know, you don't need anything else.
Now, I had a student who had the OQ01. Do you know a lot about what the difference is for the new one?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I think that they worked out some of the bugs in it. I think that the dock seems different. Mm-hmm. The keyboard, I think, on the one was not lighted. This one's backlit, so you can use it.
Oh, cool.
You know, and yeah, so I don't know if you've gone to the link, but there's a great picture of it there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just basically it's the smallest computer that exists that I've seen, right?
Yeah.
The smallest full Windows machine.
What I really like about it is it's... Yeah, sorry. Is that it's touchscreen, but it also has that little pull-out keyboard, little QWERTY keyboard. So you're able to do, you know, and with, you know, the ubiquitous wireless coming, I suppose you could even, you know, install Skype and... You know, use it not as a full-feature phone, but certainly as a communication device that way.
Yeah, that's true. Man, that thing is 1 pound, one-pound computer. That's pretty good. Five-inch VGA screen. This is the future of phones, and we'll just be running Windows, or I guess the new iPhone is running Mac OS X.
Yeah, and was it, I forget who said recently, maybe it was Jobs who was talking about the fact that he doesn't want the iPhone to be thought of as a computer. He really wants to be thought of as a phone. And apparently the rationale was that, and maybe this was even Fred Bartels who posted this, I don't remember, that you're looking at, you want your phone to be reliable, so which is why he's saying he doesn't want third-party apps available. He doesn't want you to be able to crash your phone, because a phone needs to be reliable in a way a computer doesn't always have to be.
That's a pretty good way of saying it.
Right.
What's interesting is I wonder if we're just lowering our expectations of computers instead of raising our expectations. We're like, you can't expect a computer not to crash, so don't think of it as a computer.
Right. But I'm also wondering if they're going to be able to somehow separate the two, where you've got something like an OQO that's also a cell phone, but your phone, you know, is essentially a separate component within it. I don't know. Who knows where this is all going?
Yeah. I could see maybe your phone docking into your laptop. You know what I mean? Like, you pull out your phone and just head out with that sometimes, or you take the whole thing if you want it.
Because that's the most frustrating thing, is where you've got your information saved. Right now, for work, I have a BlackBerry. I have a Palm that I often use for reading RSS feeds on the train.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, you know, my regular personal cell phone. I've got Outlook as the conduit for syncing all of that, plus linking it to Yahoo.
Oh, gosh.
So it's like, I want it all in one place.
I know. It's too complicated. And also, like, I've just been getting frustrated with the phones and the... Like, I got a new Dell Axim as my PDA, and, God, the thing is so slow. Every time I click something, it's like I wait for a minute. It's... I don't know what the problem is, but been quite disappointed in that technology, that Windows Mobile.
Yeah, I have not played with it, although I have a friend who swears by it, has always had a Windows version, never used a Palm, and just... says it, you know, she basically uses it as a laptop, so.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm basically using it for my
Like the
calendaring and some basic email needs, but it's not giving me exactly what I want. And it's almost
Right.
unnecessary. I mean, I have a laptop here at work that I take home. I have a laptop at home. It's just sort of the time in between that I'm using it. But I guess that
Right.
commuting time is
But wouldn't
becoming
it be
more. Go ahead.
right. But it would just be nice to have, I'm sorry, it would just be nice to have something that was just it, where you could dock at home, dock here, dock there,
Yeah.
everything's with you.
Yeah, that I'm waiting on that one. That brings me
Course,
to
maybe we're moving.
another announcement that came out of the Consumer Electronics Show. Did you see the that syncing technology? It was the Microsoft Ford announcement. What was that one? I'll give you the
No.
name. It's called Microsoft and Ford announced a partnership where they are going, here it is, Ford Sync, it's called. And they are going to have sort of a protocol for how vehicles could sync with devices. So controlling cell phones through the car, MP3 players, or whatever kind of devices people need to sync in their car. So they're trying to come out with a interface for that, which looks pretty cool. I'll post a link in the chat room.
Oh, wow. And
Makes
what's
me a little
also funny
nervous
is,
that it's
especially with the way.
Microsoft, just because I'm worried that they won't let other people sync with it, but we'll see.
It's also interesting in that, in some ways, with all of the Web 2.0 and connecting to servers and cell phones and storing everything online, that we're moving back to a client server model. Thin clients with, do you even need your information in a computer anymore?
I know.
But now, instead of being, tied into a big machine in the back room, we're all just wirelessly connected to some central repository.
Yeah, I'm currently in a state of data backup nightmare at home, trying to figure out should I keep all my data in one place, multiple places? I have no idea at this point. I have stuff all over the world, all over the web, all over my machine. Need some
Here's
personal
another good
syncing.
segue.
Go for it.
That's a perfect segue. Okay, the couple of different things that I've also been keeping an eye on is here's one of them, the Seagate Free Agent.
Ooh, okay.
The concept being you're carrying your hard drive with you, with all of your apps, with all of your photos, with all your music, with all of your bookmarks, and you don't need a computer. Wherever you get to the computer, you plug this thing in, everything runs right off of it, and so it's the place to keep your information.
Ooh.
So that's one thing I've been looking at, just to tr exactly the problem you're talking about, how to solve that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm playing with at home right now is, let's see where I have that.
Just to throw into that, the other ones I've been kind of looking at are Carbonite Backup, which is getting a lot of reviews. It's a paid online backup service. And there's one other one, I'm trying to find the name of
Cool.
it.
And isn't the new Microsoft product, what is it, Live or Live? Doesn't it include some? They have a new product for small businesses that's free with free web space and free backup space.
I don't know if I know that
I
one.
read about that the other day.
I know Microsoft bought a company called Foldershare.com that does
Yep.
that allows you to free backup to any other machine on the internet. But I haven't heard a lot more after that. So what's this
The
D-Link
link I
one?
put,
Yeah.
yeah, it's something I'm actually playing with at home now for another possible solution to what you're talking about. It is a network storage adapter. So you
Ooh.
plug it into your network, it has two USB ports, and it can share two hard drives on your network. And it's got a built-in FTP server if you want to do that, or you can just set it up as a share on your internal network. I haven't had a chance to really play with it a lot yet, but it looks like it's got some promise.
Yeah, I've definitely been looking at some of those because I figure I might as well just get a big some kind of data storage at home and just dump everything on there.
Right.
The company Buffalo has one of those too. Go ahead.
No, I was just, sorry. I keep talking on you because of the delay.
No.
And it has, if you have it, you know, you create a secure connection to your home network, you can FTP your stuff back and forth as well. So
I'm going to post a link for the Buffalo technology. They have one that's a NAS, network-attached storage, that's a RAID, to get really nerdy for those of you listening in, which means it's a hard drive that sort of backs itself up at the same time. In case part of it crashes, it still lives on your data.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, terabyte network-attached storage for your home. Who would have thought?
And there you go. Speaking of which, there's Hitachi's first terabyte drive.
Oh, yeah? For a laptop?
No, just apparently everything else has been... it hasn't actually been a... Most terabyte are not actually a single drive. The first truly terabyte external hard drive.
Oh, wow.
Just came out.
Yeah, I actually... So, like I said, I was abroad for 2 weeks traveling, and... To segue a little bit, I took my brand new Canon Digital Rebel XTI, which I love, and I'm posting a link to in the chat room. So I have about 6 gigs of pictures that I need to go through and edit and then upload them to my Flickr account. But my PowerBook is out of hard drive space. So I don't know what to do. So I'm trying to figure out where to back everything up so I can get some more space.
Time for the Hitachi terabyte.
Yeah, that drive's looking pretty nice. It's probably going to cost more than my laptop.
And here's the other end of the spectrum, which is the new solid-state, quote, hard drive, which is all flash memory, 32 gigs.
32 gigs?
Sort of, yeah.
That's a lot of flash.
Looking toward, yeah. Look into this as a replacement for, you know, spinning hard drives.
I meant to point this out before, but Michael posted a link to that, to a little NYU website where you can watch all kinds of multi-touch input machinery. Looks pretty cool. Multi-touch interaction research. Let's check that
Thanks,
out when
Michael.
You have a second.
So that's, I think those are what I was... looking at as far as storage and new gadgets and new mm-hmm. directions. So,
on the quieter end, Apple released their Apple TV product, which also, I guess, will have to deal with storage because it didn't have... Have you seen that product?
I've only read about it. In fact, I hadn't really even heard about it until you alerted me to it earlier.
Yeah, so I guess what it does is it's able to stream... anything from your iTunes library onto your computer or to your widescreen TV. So it's kind of like this in-between between your computer and your television. And now I guess it doesn't have to store anything. It just transfers stuff wirelessly. I don't know how they're going to do the video wirelessly. It seems like it might get a little, you know, jaggedy. So much to transfer, but it's supposed to be pretty slick.
Yeah, when you talked about it earlier, I went to look at the link and I was confused about that too, if it was actually going to store something, because it said it syncs automatically, but
yeah.
Then it didn't really talk about storage in this device, whether it was just a streaming tool, I don't know.
Yeah. Cuz it doesn't say like how big the hard drive or something like that. You would expect them to say something like that. I'm going to look at the tech specs right now. It's got it does have a 40 gig hard drive. For storing content locally, up to 50 hours of movie and television shows, 9,000 songs, 25,000 pictures. Does work with the Mac and PC, and it does look like it's high definition, which is cool.
Wow.
So I guess you have to have a wireless station somewhere that then's connected to your computer, and then this thing connects to the wireless as well. There are a number of other people making a similar product, but Apple's jumped onto the market.
Yeah, there was one for music, what was it, the Squeezebox?
Yeah.
Which was a similar thing, but I don't know that it did video.
Yeah. But the thing I've been thinking about is, you know, I'm trying to back up all these 30 gigs and 40 gigs of pictures I have. And I'm not real confident if I, let's say I manage to back it up for the next 10 years. I'm not real confident 10 years from now I'm going to be able to open a JPEG. Who knows if that'll even be around anymore.
Hopefully you won't care about it by then.
I know. That's what everyone says, is you won't care. But, you know, I have pictures from my parents growing up. You know, those pictures are 50 years old that are valuable to us now. So I wonder how what's going to happen 50 years from now. All my photos.
Yeah, they'll build the conversion tools because they'll want to keep selling you new things.
Great. Yeah, I also realize that I don't know how I'll be able to store all this stuff, especially this new camera I got. It's the file sizes are enormous. It's out of control.
I just read a great article about the megapixel myth. And there were tests that they did recently, and I'll try to find the link for it, or maybe actually Michael can find it because I posted it to our internal first class account the other day.
Oh, okay.
Where they did three different megapixel sizes, printed them up, put them on the wall, and nobody could tell the difference.
Yes.
So they're really saying that anything beyond, I mean, they're saying that 3.2 is fine, but anything beyond 5 is just overkill.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're doing a lot of cropping and blowing up at the same time, if what I understand is right, because if you crop out just a small portion of the picture, that's when the pixels would really matter.
Right.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I have a 6-megapixel point-and-shoot Panasonic camera, which I love. Uh-huh. And so this new camera I got, granted it's a lot, I mean it's up to 10 megapixels, but you can shoot at the same 6 megapixels, but the pictures are a million times better. And it has to do with the optics, not the pixels.
Right.
The main factor in quality from everything I've read and I've talked to people is how big the sensor is that records the image. So the bigger the sensor, the better quality picture you get. But Mr. B has some good advice in the chat room. Print the pictures that you want to keep. And I think he's right.
So just so we don't sit in front of our TVs and our computer screens for too long, I'm going to post another gadget that will get us out and around. Here we go. The Dash GPS. Have you heard about this?
No.
It has a cellular and Wi-Fi connection, so it's a two-way GPS. So as you can read in the thing that I posted, basically, it won't just tell you where the gas station is. It will tell you what the gas prices are. It will tell you what the movie is showing at the theater that you're coming up to.
Oh, gosh.
It will also, if you get stuck in traffic, it will automatically communicate with a central computer, which will then create sort of a social traffic web and let people know where there are slowdowns.
That is fantastic. Now, is this out yet? Or is this coming out?
No, I think that it is.
Early 2007, it says.
Okay. Oh, it's funny. I thought they had some of the service up.
When I was in Spain, a lot of the cab drivers had GPS added on to their car. And it's different than the GPS I've seen in the U.S. Like, most of the GPS I've seen here is you kind of have that map view. It's like you're overhead, like in a helicopter looking at the map. But the GPS that I saw in Spain was much more like you're driving down the road and it's showing you in three dimensions what's coming at you. It's kind of cool. I'm sure they have that here too. I just haven't seen it as much.
I have a simple Navman and it allows you to change the angle, but doesn't add any depth to it once you do. It just sort of gives you a longer view of the road in front of you.
Okay. Yeah, this was, I mean, I don't know, it wasn't true depth, but it was pretty good. It looked like I was traveling down the road on the GPS. So my brother is really into GPS, and he's got his laptop in his car in the passenger seat with a GPS card on the side. That seems a little excessive.
Yeah, very safe.
Yeah,
I heard
hopefully
about
he's not on Skype on there at the same time.
I read about someone who drove into the front of a building because the little voice said turn right,
Oh
and
my
he did.
God.
Yeah.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, right?
So what else?
I had a few others, but we might want to start to wrap it up. We're hitting 2:20. I know you have to go soon. Do you have any other last-minute ones to throw in there?
Just something that I've been watching are the Wi-Fi phones that you can use with Skype.
Yeah.
So you don't need a computer. You just find an open access point.
Yeah.
I'm waiting because apparently there's a difference between those that can get on an open access point and those that actually have a little built-in web browser so that you can do a login access point.
Oh, wow. That'll be great.
So for those that require some sort of authentication.
Like if you're at Starbucks or something.
Exactly. And then the final thing I'll say is this website, a company out of Spain, Fon, F-O-N, which has created a router, which is very inexpensive, which allows you to split your internet connection, your wireless connection, and it allows you to secure part of it and leave part of it open.
Ooh.
So there's a whole movement with sharing part of your connection, but also keeping your own information or your own connection safe.
Now, I know there was a lot of... I used to be a member of nycwireless.net, and there's a lot of discussion there on what you're legally allowed to do when you, like, get a Verizon DSL account. So your terms of service sometimes don't allow that, but I'm sure a lot of people are giving it away for free anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an interesting philosophical question of what, you know, are you allowed to intentionally leave your connection open?
Right.
Are you allowed to surf connections that are open but not clearly left open intentionally?
Right.
All of those fun things.
We had that discussion in my 8th grade technology class. The ethics of technology usage. Well, at least that'll get them out of the house, although with their laptops trying to connect to other people's wireless.
Exactly. I'm going to add a couple of other direct wireless Wi-Fi phones.
Yeah. Now, from what I've seen from the Skype phones, they're pretty pricey, huh?
Yeah. But it's, you know, with the Skype in and the Skype out. And Skype out is cheap. If you get it before the end of this month, it's like $15 a year.
Yeah, so that gives you unlimited phone calls to the U.S. and Canada, right?
Right, and then I think 100 minutes international. Or 100 units or something, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, more than an hour of international calls. They did have that free until December 31st. You could call any U.S. numbers for free, which was great.
Right. So that... You know, that's also, you know, carry around one of these phones in your pocket and hook to any network and make free calls.
Yeah.
But, you know, at what point does it become overkill, too? You got the cell phone, you got the Okio, you got the Palm, you got the BlackBerry, you got...
We are out of control. Well, I guess that just means the killer device hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
For no lack of trying, right?
Right. We'll see.
So those of you listening, the engineering mind, we need that killer device. Bill and I will be the first in line.
I think it's going to be Michael.
Yeah?
He's out there.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks in advance.
All right.
Well, Bill, I really want to thank you for being here today. You did a very excellent job at filling in for Alex.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it, and sorry about the technical problems.
Oh, no problem. It seems like I caused half of them for you. Just wanted to see how you scrambled.
Exactly. I just needed to restart my computer anyway.
Always good to restart. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Thanks, Michael, for throwing in those informative links in the chat room. I'll be posting this audio after I master it. I've never mastered 45 minutes of audio, so we'll see how that goes. But thanks to everyone for listening for 21st Century Learning on January 16th, 2007. This is Arvin Grover and Bill Knauer signing off. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.